From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. British voters head to polls Thursday for what has been called the most important vote of their lifetimes, whether the United Kingdom should remain in or leave the European Union. Wednesday was the last day of campaigning. Prime Minister David Cameron urging voters to cast ballots to stay in the EU.
We are stronger, we are better off, we are safer in a reformed European Union. And that is why we should vote Remain tomorrow morning in the largest possible numbers.
Conservative politician and Justice Secretary Michael Gove is among the leading advocates for the Leave campaign.
I respect people on both sides of the argument, and I think it's good that we hear from the heart from politicians and others who want us to remain and who want us to leave. But ultimately, people will have a chance tomorrow to take back control of our democracy, and I think that is a very, very powerful argument.
Two polls just before the Thursday referendum showed a slight advantage to the Leave campaign. Election analysts say the turnout will be crucial. Gunmen in southern Nigeria kidnapped at least seven people, including four Australians and a New Zealander, identified as contractors for a mining and engineering company on the outskirts of the city Calabar in Cross River State Wednesday. Their driver killed. Malcolm Turnbull is the Australian Prime Minister.
The Australian High Commissioner is on the scene, and we are working with the authorities, the local authorities at the highest levels.
The Australian Prime Minister said the identity of the kidnappers is still not known. He described the incident as a very serious criminal assault. The kidnappers have not yet been contacted police. Abductions for ransom has been a long-standing problem in the region where much of Nigeria's oil wealth is located. This is VOA News. In Iraq, government coalition forces pressed their five-week assault on retaking the Islamic State-held city of Fallujah. The French press agency says IS defenders have been pushed back to their last redoubts. Brigadier Haider al-Obeidi says almost 90% of the city has been liberated. He says he hopes the advance will be completed within days. Meanwhile, more than 80,000 civilians have fled the fighting, with over 60,000 said to be in overwhelmed displacement camps lacking basic supplies. The U.S. says it will host a pledging conference next month to raise hundreds of millions of dollars to help Iraqis return to a normal life. Colombia and leftist FARC rebels agreed to a ceasefire Wednesday, with a signing ceremony scheduled in Havana Thursday to end hostilities in a 50-year-long guerrilla war that killed 220 people. Peter Hockham is a Latin American scholar with the Inter-American Dialogue in Washington.
Not only has it been the longest war, it's probably cost the most lives of any war on the mainland of Latin America. And, you know, it's caused Colombia to be among the countries in the entire world which have the largest displaced population.
Colombian President Juan Manuel Santos and rebel leader Rodrigo Londono will sign the ceasefire in Havana, where peace talks have been held for several years. Mr. Santos says he expects final negotiation to be completed next month. The deal, including land reform, will then be put to the Colombian people in a referendum. Senior U.S. diplomat Thomas Shannon met Wednesday in Caracas with Venezuela's President Nicolas Maduro on ways to improve relations. The countries have not exchanged ambassadors since 2010 amid sharp disagreement over the country's socialist policies. Mr. Maduro, a sharp U.S. critic, called on Shannon to tell President Obama to rectify U.S. policy toward his country. Shannon pressed for the release of political prisoners. He also met members of the opposition who are trying to form a recall of Mr. Maduro amid the country's deepening economic crisis. Zambia's largest private-owned newspaper has been shuttered by the government over unpaid taxes. The owner of the Post newspaper said the paper, a frequent critic of the government, is being shut down in a political move ahead of August's election. The country's Supreme Court ordered the paper to pay about $6 million in unpaid taxes. More pre-election street violence in townships around South Africa's capital Wednesday left at least two dead, with dozens arrested. Shops have been looted, vehicles torched, the violence believed to be tied to the selection of the ruling African National Congress candidate for Mayor Pretoria. The International Monetary Fund has trimmed its forecast for U.S. economic growth this year to 2.2%. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.